It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, and we're going to start the 10th chapter. So Revelation chapter 10. And so please open your Bibles to that book and chapter. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, it would be at Parkview Bible. That's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And if you'd like to visit our website, you'll find it at Parkview Bible Church. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with the first verse. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. He cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I saw I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I just ask that you'll show us your way and will and guide and lead us as we have opened your precious book, read your wonderful word. Now please just guide and lead us, dear Lord. I just ask you that you give us your perfect will and your wisdom, that we may understand these precious words and understand what's coming, because it is the most horrible time here upon earth that has ever come. And so, and Father, we know no one needs to go through this time. No one needs to go through this time. The only ones that will face this are the ones that do not believe. They have rejected you by the act of unbelief. Says, I don't believe it. So sad, Father, that anyone would refuse a free gift of salvation that you give to all the world. But many do, and many will spend eternity in the lake of fire because of it, and many will have to go through this time. Please now, I just ask that you look into the hearts, and you are allowed to do that, because it is the whosoever will. You don't force yourself on anybody. But, Father, we know that you're just awaiting the opportunity to come. Your Son, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross to save him, and all I have to do is believe. And I just ask today that many will believe. And, Father, for those that are saved, that have come by faith to you and walk with you, that they'll grow today through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we start out, and I saw another mighty angel. Now, we're going to take a look at this as we look at this another mighty angel. And that is quite a statement there, come down from heaven, the scripture tells us. This is no ordinary angel. Let's look at seven different things that will help us to identify this angel. I'm going to list them here. The first one is the angel is mighty. The second, this angel came down from heaven. That's number two. Number three, this angel is clothed with a cloud. We read it there. Number four, we find that the face of this angel is like the sun. The rainbow was upon his head, the scripture says here. And then the face of this angel is like the sun. The feet of this angel are as pillars of fire. He has in his hand a little book, a little open book that's open. He stands with one foot on the land and one on the sea, and that kind of denotes to us a universal ownership and an authority that he possesses. These facts testify that this angel, this mighty angel, must be the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He was the only one worthy to open the book and to loose the seals, if you'll remember. And we're going to look back to jog your memory, because it has been a little bit of time, Revelation 5:5. Revelation 5:5, and the elders said unto me, weep not. Remember when we studied that? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open this book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And it came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. What a testimony. This book is now open, if you'll watch, if you'll see that. This book is now open and in the hand of this mighty angel, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, Jesus is referred to as Jehovah's angel, or the angel of the Lord. This one appears many times in the Old Testament, many times. The angel of the Lord comes. Now in Revelation is referred to, we have watched, as the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the warrior, and now the mighty angel. As we continue to look, we have the mighty angel come down from heaven. Let's look to see how he is clothed with a cloud. Clothed with a cloud. Nahum, we read that the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now let's see if we can find Nahum. And let's go back and read that verse of Scripture. You find Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So it's fairly close to the beginning of the New Testament, the end of the Old Testament. But Nahum, I hope that you know your Bible. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Jesus was taken up in a cloud when he ascended, if you'll remember. And let's look at that. Acts chapter 1. That may be a little easier for you to find, and I hope that you, again, have your Bible out and able to look up these verses of Scripture with me. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to look at the 8th through the 11th verse. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. We enjoy the scripture, and if you look back to verse 9, because that's kind of the cross-reference we were using, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When we find the Lord Jesus came down upon Mount Sinai to meet with Moses, we find that in Exodus chapter 19, verse 9. Exodus 19, 9. Again, Genesis, Exodus. That is not too difficult to find. Exodus 19, 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And again, the Lord said to Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. When Israel was delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. Once again, back to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 13 this time. Exodus chapter 13. Maybe this time you've had enough time to find it. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. So he used a pillar of a cloud to lead them during the day. When the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Exodus 40, 34. You see, this isn't the first time that we find this cloud. Exodus 40, 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Once again. And the psalmist in Psalms 97, 2. So find the book of Psalms. That's easy to find. If you just open your Bible to the middle, you'll find the book of Psalms. And then we're looking for Psalms 97. Psalms 97, verse 2. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Clouds and darkness are round about him. And last, but not least, here in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation 1, 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Cometh with clouds. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. As his garments of deity, these clouds indicate the unapproachableness of God and denotes his infinite majesty. Yet we find here in chapter 10, he comes near to the earth. And once again, He's bringing mercy. He offers mercy to the earth. But the earth rejects. This mighty angel will come, and not only as we look back now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 10. And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was about his head. This rainbow is a symbol of mercy. It always has been. The rainbow is a sign of divine mercy in the middle of this divine judgment. Four times the rainbow is mentioned in God's Word, and on every occasion it is connected with God's mercy given unto man. The one you're probably the most familiar with is after the flood. The rainbow is without question a sign of God's mercy. The Lord Jesus is about to speak to earth citizens, for the last time. Remember, we have just watched or witnessed 2 billion, over 2 billion, slaughtered. Remember a third? Please remember what the Word of God tells us here. Because, and remember in the 21st verse, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorcerers, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Repented not. Verse 20, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. God shows mercy. They could be saved, but they repented not. So sad, repented not. Let's continue now, because we find the mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun. If we look back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus' countenance was the sun shining in his full strength. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Next we have in chapter 10, verse 1, the sun and his feet as the pillars of fire. Back in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 15, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Only Jesus holds this description. Once again, we're going to read verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was about his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Again, only Jesus could hold such a description. Let's look at verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he sat his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. He had in his hand and a book opened, the scripture says. This is the same book that John wept much back in Revelation 5:4. Let's just flip back there. It's just so close, I don't want you to miss it. Revelation chapter 5, verse 4. And I wept because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. This is the same book, the same book. But you see, one was found. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus. That's in the 5th verse of that same chapter, Revelation 5:5. We just read this. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So not only do we hold to this point a description of the Lord Jesus in the first verse, but we also find that he has opened the book. He has opened this book. In opening the book or holding the book open, we find that he stands one foot on the land and one on the sea. And again, this speaks of his possession. Jesus is the rightful owner. Remember, we talked about that this was the book of redemption. God is going to redeem the earth and all parts of it. And so we find here that it just speaks so clearly of his possession when he puts one foot on the land and one on the sea. And so he intends here, and he intends to possess and take them for his own, as he should. You do know that evil has been the prince and the power of the air ever since Adam yielded to him in the garden. So land and sea has been under control of the Lord's enemy for a little over 6,000 years now. Praise God, this is going to end, and I believe it's going to end soon. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8, beginning to read with the 18th verse through verse 23. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So you see, not only ourselves, but also all of creation is awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus. And during the 7 years of tribulation, there is a cleansing process going on through judgment. And it's going to come, it's going to be soon, that our Lord's going to come and take care of this. And I thank him, I praise him. It's wonderful to see his power and his strength, and then see what he is doing. As God stands upon the land, upon the sea, all the world, seeing those two pillars of fire, will know the end is near. And he had in his hand a little book opened, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. What's it say? Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, his face as it were the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. And he is standing, pillars of fire, standing, one on the sea, the other on the land. And he cried with a loud voice, as it were a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. This is the third verse. This cry, this roar, is not of fear. It's a roar of victory. As a lion roars in his announcement of the doom of his victim, whoever and whatever he has conquered, so will all the lost world hear and know that their end is so near, and judgment will be over. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and he will set right everything. Joel chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heaven and the earth shall shake. In Revelation 1:15, and we can turn back to that one easily. Revelation 1:15, his feet likened to fine brass as it burneth in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. But here, as a roaring lion. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 25. Didn't know you were going to be in so many areas of the scripture today, did you? Take your time. And find the book of Jeremiah. If you hear my pages turning, you realize that I did not have it marked, or I didn't have it already pre-written. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 29 and 31 through 31. Jeremiah 25:29. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, be Jerusalem, of course. And should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, look at that, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation, and shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A voice shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Very clear. Very clear. It's wonderful to be able to look to other verses of Scripture to confirm what we're looking at. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. This prophecy in Jeremiah will be finished in the 14th chapter of Revelation. Thunder is the voice of the Lord in judgment. Seven thunders is a complete, if you'll remember the number seven, complete, perfect. In Revelation 4, John saw upon the throne one was to look upon as jasper and sardis stone. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder. Tell of a message of God's fury and judgment. We have out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders. That was Revelation 4. Do you remember Revelation 8? Jesus threw to the earth his fire, filled censer up on the earth. This filled censer was and these were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. Seven thunders had voices that could be heard and understood. Voices that will be fully understood. We're going to begin there next time. You don't have to see this time of judgment. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?